Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 61 for New Shooter Canada. This week we have all your hosts on tonight, and a special guest as well. We have Tom from Alberta. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. And who else do we have on the show?
George.
Yay, George is back.
George is back.
Tequila George.
And we
have... Tequila Truck George, sorry.
Our other host, Thomas Donnelly.
Yep, Thomas is here.
Hello.
Hello. I brought my computer out the garage so I can smoke while we're doing this.
Oh, God. So we have, tonight we have PPC. Thomas is going to talk all about that. And we also are going to talk to Tom. We're going to get confused, I know we are. But we're going to talk to Tom about the charity shoot, and also he's going to be letting us use the Canadian Uzi once again. So, yay!
Thank you, appreciate it.
I vote we rename Tom to Mr. Uzi.
Mr. Uzi.
Uzi. Or just call me Junior.
Really? Junior. Okay.
Everyone's junior to Thomas. He's just old.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't forget that.
So.
Oh, Kelly, I feel so sorry for you.
I do too.
You've got your job cut out for you rounding us up tonight.
It's hard enough with just Thomas the last few weeks. Oh my goodness.
Oh, God. But you love me.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Sorry. What we did in Guns. How about we start there?
Why don't we start with what we did in Guns?
Fabulous idea.
Tom, you're our guest, so why don't you tell us what you did in Guns this week?
Well, I have about 20 pounds of tight group sitting on the shelf, and I have been prepping brass all week so that once I'm done that, I can load everything up for next year.
Cool. What calibers?
9mm and 223 and 6.5x5.5.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, George.
I did some trucking, tended to my sweet, sweet Wanda, and I can't read the rest of what I have in the show notes because it's naughty.
It is. And what else?
I don't feel like going boing, boing, boing.
What else did you do?
I just did... Me?
Yeah.
I just read it. I did trucking, tended to my sweet, sweet Wanda.
But you did something else, too.
I did?
You recorded last week, but you actually were on.
Oh!
You were on another podcast. You were two-timing us.
I was
yeah, cheater.
I was having an affair on my two hosts. I was on the Reloading podcast talking to Mike and the boys about SAS, about cowboy action.
You had
so much fun. I did. It's funny, cause after we finished recording that, you know what? I haven't listened to the show yet because I'm behind on my podcast. So it might actually be in the show. But at one point, I said to him, I'm like, can you tell I like cowboy shooting? I get so excited.
Yeah, so. It was in there.
I get very enthusiastic. I don't shoot it anywhere near as often as I want to, just because I let life get in the way.
Yeah.
I love cowboy shooting.
Yeah, you can't tell.
I know. I'm so monotone and boring when I talk about it. Like, jeez, come on, George. Show some excitement.
You're like a little kid at Christmas. You're bouncing all over the place.
I am. Oh, I love it.
Like, I thought all the cowboys were in Alberta.
You get to dress up as a cowboy and shoot real guns. Like, that's every child's dream growing up.
Anyways. They do that at the rodeo here, mounted shooting. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, you know what? We have a listener, Mike and Lynn. Mitch? Mike and Lynn? Sorry if I got your name wrong. I think it's Mike and Lynn. He's asked a bunch of times about doing a mounted shooting show, and I keep dropping the ball as far as getting that on the burner. So, but yeah, it's huge. That's something that'd be huge out west.
Tom, do you have anybody that we can contact about that?
Not that I know of. I can find out though, I guess.
Yeah, we did have one contact, didn't we, George?
Yeah, I've had a couple but they've kind of fallen through. Mm. And Tom's, our Tom, not Mr. Uzi, but our Tom, had gotten a lead that I still have to follow up on. So hopefully we can still get that done. But yeah, like that just, you take SAS and that's like the next level. Not only do you get to dress up as cowboys, but then you get to ride a horse and shoot real guns. Like that is, that's epic. That's taking it to expert level.
George, mm-hmm. Have you ever ridden a horse before?
Once. And let me tell you, for all you people out there that have never ridden a horse, it ain't as easy as it looks.
No,
try shooting off of it.
When they start running and like your body goes up and then comes slamming down because the horse's body's coming up, yeah, it's not as easy as you may think.
That little stirrup in the center, man, does that hurt?
I did not experience that. I was both hands on the stirrup pushing back.
It's called a horn, saddle horn.
I did not want to come down on that as it was coming up. So, yeah, no, riding a horse ain't as easy as you may think.
Did you have to ice your buns afterwards?
No, that I didn't do. Well,
new respect for saddle horns, though.
It was in Michigan. The only time I've ever ridden a horse, it was in Michigan in Pontiac State Park. I don't know. State Park in Michigan near Waterford. Stacy probably knows where it is. Or has probably heard of it. Hi, Stacy. And
that's a record.
So we went through we got horses for this little tour thing. And the guy's like, yeah, we're just going to, you know, take it easy. You guys are new, blah, 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 blah. There's one stretch, you know, we'll get up to a gallop. He goes, just squeeze the horse with your legs so you move with the horse. And I'm like, well, that sounds easy. Yeah, right. Good luck with that. So.
Okay.
So riding a horse is not as easy as you may think it is.
So, Thomas.
Yes.
Like shooting a pistol.
Sorry, George is still talking.
Shooting a helicopter out of the air with a Glock looks easy on TV. Try it in real life, not so easy. That's all I'm saying.
Thomas, do you want to tell us what you did in Guns While I Let My Dog Out?
I bought a new gun. Yes, Kelly, I bought the Grandpa K22X trim from NAS Guns and Ammo. They had the best deal around, so I went for it. Mm-hmm. And it's not a paperwork, Kelly. It's a tack driver. It just happens to be have a very expensive taste in ammo, like a sexy lady that needs to be maintained well to perform.
Yeah, George. Thomas. Yeah, no.
Yeah. you got to feed it the good stuff. And the good thing is that Grandpa announced that they're having a sale on magazines coming up before Xmas. So, and they also started up the new Grandpa Distributor Facebook page. So if you like and follow the page, you'll know when the sales are coming up, because I know Mark Price is looking for some mags too. So hopefully we'll get there'll be a large magazine shipment in due shortly. A new distributor being set up, so we'll see more steady supply for our parts. Because you have to realize that most firearm products coming to this country, except for maybe Glock and SIG, only have one distributor who carry that product. It's a pretty exclusive club in our limited Canadian marketplace compared to the U.S. market. So if your local retailer doesn't have it in stock, any item in stock, probably odds are the distributor's out of stock. And you're out of luck unless you can find it in another shop. Like when you're looking for that Buckmark, George, you can only find it at the one shop. Nobody else had it, right?
Yes.
It used to be not uncommon for the smaller retailers who were looking for, they were in good working terms with another local retailer to sell products back and forth to each other. Mind you, it wasn't a frequent occurrence, but I have seen it happen a couple of times. But now with the big box stores around, these things don't happen much these days. And Miss Stacy, you are an evil target designer. I shot minions today. It was hard. Many minions died. I met listener Tom at the club. Him and his son, Heather, were all doing a SAS shoot. They were just finishing up when I went through. And so they walk in. I had my new shooter jacket on. And I met Tom, and I didn't know who it was. As soon as I walked through the door, he saw the jacket. He goes, I know you. I'm Tom. I've written your show. So it was nice talking to him and his son. And
did you ask him if he listened to Slamfire Radio?
He does. He does.
While you were drinking a Coca-Cola, wearing a Pepsi hat?
Actually, I was drinking Orange Crush and wearing a Beretta hat, but beside the point. And then we had another 2 weeks ago. Terry gets all excited because Williams Arms has a Marlin Papoose on the website. Did I tell you guys the story about the Papoose?
You told me.
I told you. Well, originally with this Papoose, talking about Slamfire again, Matthew was looking for a Papoose a couple years ago and he couldn't find one because that's when the time when Remington took over Marlin and they'd stopped production. Even though everybody advertised them, nobody actually had them. So he asked the listeners if you knew anybody who had a Marlin Papoose to let him know. And I did have one. I'd sold mine to Randy. So I called up Randy and asked him if he had it. And he said no. But he'd sold it to Justin. So I called up Justin and I said, you want to sell a Papoose? He said, well, if the price is right. So I go up to Matthew and I said, okay, I can get you a Papoose. Matthew goes, well, tell the guy I'll give him $300 for it. I said, no. I said, how about I tell him I'll give him $250? If he says not enough, then I'll put it up to 275. And if that's still not enough, we'll go up to 300. So the guy said no to the 250, but he said yes to the 275. So Matthew got his Papoose for $25 less. So when Terry got a wind of this, she freaked because she was mad at me in the very beginning for selling the Papoose. Now that I got it again and then I resold it to somebody else, she even got madder at me. So since Matthew has gotten a hold of that Papoose, I've never heard the end of the story. So she goes on Williams Arms, and sure enough, John Williams has a Marlin Papoose for sale. So she emails John Williams and says, John, put it away from me. I want that gun. I booked a ride. I'll be there Saturday at 1:30 to pick it up. So we're all set to go Saturday morning, and she goes, looks on the website, and it's marked that it's sold. And I said, well, he may have done that to put it away for you, but so just be on the safe side. Call and make sure it's there. Well, didn't one of the staff members sell the gun this morning or Saturday morning? So just before we're about to leave, somebody sold her gun to somebody else. It was not a pleasant sight in this house that afternoon.
No.
It was quite, and she is absolutely furious with the gun shop. So she went looking online, and Elwood Epps has them for $250, where Williams wanted $295. So she got so mad she ordered it from another gun shop. So you lose, John.
Terry?
John, Terry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Terry, at least it wasn't a lever action.
She listened to that episode, Lever Boy, and I've been paying for that one too.
Okay, is it Lever Boy, Lover Boy? What is it?
It's Lever Boy, actually.
Yeah.
Lever. Lever. Just hit your 15-second rewind. I just said it, lever. There you go, lever again.
Okay.
Is it a lever action CZ?
Oh, God.
Is it a carbine?
You know, I'm keeping track of all the mispronunciations. You know that, right?
So, Kelly, what did you do with guns today?
What did I do? Today?
This week? Yesterday.
Okay. So I worked on the charity shoot stuff. It's really taking off, so that's good. And I also sent out all the podcaster cards. So, Tom, yours is coming in the mail. Expected soon. And what else did I do? Oh, I went to the range today. Kevin and I met up with our friend Chris, who I met at SFRC.
Was that the guy that you, what's his name, was giving Kevin's number to?
Yes. Dave was giving Chris Kevin's number. But yes, we met up with him. He brought out his 1911s. He had a couple of them. He had a 40 cal and a 22. So the 22 was brand new. He's never fired it before. So he took that out and he shot that. He had some not so great ammo. It had some failures to eject, and it also had a couple of misfires as well. So then I gave him my ammo.
That's pretty standard with 22 ammunition, right, Mr. Uzi?
I thought it was awesome that happened.
And it's not a 1911, really. It's a GSG.
Well, I do have a question about the GSG, because Jessica and I almost bought, because they had a pink one at Bullseye, we almost bought the GSG 1911. Mm-hmm. I liked it. It's a tiny, tiny little pistol.
Mm-hmm. It is tiny.
Did you get to shoot it? Did you get to shoot it, Kelly?
I got to shoot it.
Did you like it?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. No, his was brand new, as I said. It's Arctic camo. So it was a nice looking gun. But it it had a lot of misfires, failure to extract, and even the when you shot it, I'm used to a Glock, so something a little bit more heavy.
Yeah, so I need to ask somebody that likes 1911s their opinion of that gun. I liked the feel of it. I love 1911s. I like hammers.
Yeah.
Go figure. Cowboy guy likes hammers. I love hammers. Yeah. But 22 ammunition. It's bound to have failures.
What type of ammunition was he using?
What type was he using?
Yes.
I believe it was Winchester. It's Winchester.
Yeah,
I had
it right there.
Yeah, I had the Aguila, so it ran well with mine. And I also fired the M&P 22 as well. So
I had my first failure today with the Aguila.
Did you?
Yeah, I had one that failed to fire.
Serious?
Yeah, I put it through the gun 3 times, it wouldn't go off.
I think we had a listener email submission saying that there's nothing wrong with 22 ammunition. It runs perfectly every time.
Yeah, I think it was Tom from Alberta, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Not Mr. Uzi, but you know, some other guy.
You need a real gun to run it in, George.
I love my M22.
Actually, it depends on the gun. Some guns like the cheap stuff, and some guns don't.
So did you run some of your Aguila through it?
Yeah, I did, and it ran well with that.
Okay.
For the record, I'd like to point out that the M22 had zero failures. It was the Buckmark that had the failure to feed. Just saying. Everyone's hating on my ISSC. Once you get that slide forward, eventually, once it's forward...
It had a failure to feed for me.
So did you shoot some redcoats too, Kelly?
I did.
How'd those go?
Thanks for taking over the show there.
I'm trying to control the squirrel and put you back in charge.
Yeah, thanks. So, Chris, we explained... I asked Chris if he was doing anything in March and if he had a 22 rifle, and he said, "Why, yes, I do." And I said, "Well, would you like to go to Michigan?" We talked a little bit about Appleseed, and then we threw up a couple of red coats, and he shot Kevin's M&P 1522, which he loves, and I love it too. But I also shot my 10/22, which I haven't been shooting that much lately. So I did shoot my first red coat since Maple Seed, and I ran through it. The only thing that I missed was if I 30 caled it, I would have gotten the 400, but I missed on the 400. But I did shoot, or I did hit Morgan Shingle as well. So I need to keep practicing it. So when we go down to
Michigan, I just like to throw it there. If I 40 millimetered most of my shots, I would hit every single one. I'd clear that target every time.
That Morgan shingle—that is a small target. It's like an inch or a half inch square. It's tiny. It's a hard shot to make.
Not if you're shooting 40 millimeters at it. It's not
40 millimeter, 40 caliber.
40
no,
cal.
He's talking 40 millimeter. He wants a 56-50, from what I understand from the radio show.
I don't know. A mortar shell.
Yeah, so that's what I did. Red coat, and maybe Chris is interested in coming down to Michigan. We'll have to shoot with him. He's a really, really nice guy. He's a little bit younger than I thought he was. I originally thought he was maybe in his later 20s, but I think he's in more of his early 20s. And he's from Edmonton.
Is he cute, though? That's the question. But
eh, you know.
Thomas is probably asking.
I was going to ask if his wife is cute. Did you bring his wife?
I've never met her.
Well, I think we did come as a couple.
So, guns in the news. How about Mr. Uzi take?
I've totally lost control of this show.
Mr. Uzi.
Tom, would you like to read that?
So, story number one. RCMP have laid charges after a home invasion in the town of Fairview, north of Grand Prairie. That led to a round of shotgun justice. Investigators say one of the occupants of the home was being assaulted by 3 armed suspects who had burst in around 10 o'clock on Thursday night. Just going to scroll down here. But the tables quickly turned when the homeowner suddenly appeared with a shotgun, pulling the trigger and pumping hot lead into one of the suspects, who is now said to be in stable condition in the hospital. Meanwhile, the person who was originally assaulted in the home has since been released from hospital. Police say Nathan McNamara, who is 31, and one of the 3 suspects has been charged with break and enter and commit, along with assault with a weapon. The homeowner, Dave Seitzma, who is 29, has been charged with discharging a weapon with intent and 2 counts of possession of a weapon and ammunition while prohibited.
So he stops the bad guys, but he's under a prohibition order not to have guns.
Yes, because he was a bad guy once before.
So gun laws don't stop bad guys from getting guns. This guy obviously had no problem getting one.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, I got a question here. This is from AM630 News.
Yeah.
Did the original news actually say pumping lead? Where was that in the story? Did they actually write?
Yeah, copied the news story.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're in Alberta, you got to listen to AM 630 News because I love the reporting.
It's 630 Ched, man. It's awesome.
Tom, I must say that you did really well with his last name, Seitzman. Seitzman. Is it Seitzman?
Seitzman.
Okay.
Seitzman.
Seitzma. You did well. So, yeah, he is under a prohibition from holding guns, so he's going to go to jail, too.
Pulling the trigger and pumping hot lead into one of the suspects.
What kills me is charged with discharging a weapon with intent. Well, of course, if you're defending yourself, you're going to be discharging with intent.
So so Matthew will never be charged with that because he just shoots warning shots, right?
I think he's changed.
Well, he has intent. It's just that he misses. Sorry.
I still can't get past pulling trigger and pumping hot lead.
The first charity shoot I went to, we had a zombie shoot, and Matthew actually had a couple misses, warning shots in the target, and he actually signed the target and warning shot and gave it to somebody.
God. So I'm thinking that there might have he was a former back. I'm getting it back on track, by the way. Did you notice how I'm steering it back in? Okay. So
it's probably bad guys getting back at the bad guys. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Drug dealers.
Yes.
Drug dealers. So yeah, I'm not saying that the guy was a drug dealer, but it just sounds like that. So.
Well, it's hard to wave the hooray for the homeowner. He defended his castle when he wasn't really supposed to have the gun in the first place, because if you're prohibited from owning a firearm...
There's a reason why.
Generally a reason why, because good guys don't get prohibited.
Right.
Unless you're crazy.
And it gives good guys a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good guys do get prohibited, depending on the prosecutor.
Yes.
Okay.
Story two, Kelly.
So, story two. Thank
story
you,
two,
Thomas.
Kelly. How about you take story two?
So, story number two is armed car guard shoots machete-wielding attacker. So, awesome. A man who allegedly attacked and tried robbing an armored car in Winnipeg was shot by one of the guards. It happened just before 1 a.m. Friday in a strip mall on the 800 block of... Kewantan Street outside TD Bank. Sources have told CBC News that the man was armed with a machete and cut one of the guards in the hand. Two fellows were doing their jobs as best they could, and all of a sudden they were confronted by an armed individual, and one of them was forced to discharge his firearm to protect himself, said police spokesman Constable Eric Hoffley. Sources say the man was shot in the stomach, though police have not released that information. He was rushed to the hospital in critical condition and has since been upgraded to stable. The guard is listed in stable condition. The armored car belongs to Guerra World, remains surrounded in yellow police tape at the scene. So, an armored... What the heck is this?
You're missing a word. Armored car.
Yeah, this is just copied and pasted. Anyways, so let's talk about this story then.
Okay. Guy gets gut shotted. You don't watch the movie Machete and then go rob a bank, because it's just not going to end well for you. All I have to say.
I believe this is the same armored car company that had the shooting in Toronto, where the guy shot the guy. Yeah, Guard World. I think it's the same company.
Yeah,
I actually...
The McDonald's incident?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually considered applying for this company, working for this company, just so I could carry a gun.
Well, at least they carry Smith & Wesson MP9s now. They don't carry the old revolvers like they used to.
Yeah. Because I used to be, I ran security when I was in college, so I have my security license. Got my firearms license. I have everything I need. And then I heard they're not a very good company. So
and you like, can't dress as a cowboy, so be no fun, George.
I know. And you don't get to shoot anyone, unless they got a machete. And, yeah, I get to shoot machete wielders, but, yeah.
Like, start your own company, George.
Do you think the guy was drinking? It's 1 o'clock in the morning. He's wielding a machete.
Nothing good happens after midnight.
No.
Especially in Winnipeg.
Unless it's a road trip.
I lived in Winnipeg. That area of town is not that great. Anyways, just saying.
We've heard about your road trips, George.
I know.
We've seen the video.
I'm expecting a road trip to Kingston at any point.
December 5th?
Oh. Yes, December 5th. We're going to have a house full of people. All right, main topic.
You have Thomas Wanda and I.
Yes, that's going to be awesome.
Maybe we can get a flight booked for Mr. Uzi. Bring him down.
That'd be good, too.
Talk to Miss Stacy to coming again.
We could ask Stacy if she would like to come again.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
Stacy.
I think Stacy's had enough of
rescue us. Rescue me, please.
So the main topic this week is PPC with Tom.
Well, before we do that, on that main game, I think we should actually add that little section that every time you say the word Stacy, you have to take a drink too.
So for tonight's main topic, we have Thomas, and he's going to be talking PPC. So take it away, Thomas.
Well, we've had a couple of listeners ask about PPC. We've been putting it in the back burner. So I wrote a brief summary of what our PPC is.
Yeah, real brief.
Just to clarify, Trevor must be still recuperating from his shock treatment because I never asked to be on Slamfire Radio to talk about PPC. I asked Trevor to come on New Shooter Canada to talk about PPC, and he laughed out loud and said no. PPC has had several names over the years. In the past, it's been known as Practical Police Corps, Practical Police Combat, Precision Pistol. Now it's Canadian Police Combat Association, whatever. It's still NRA-ruled PPC matches. The CPCA has received the federal patent letters now formally recognizing it as a national governing body for police pistol combat shooting in Canada. And use of the NRA rule book and targets are usually what governs all Canadian PPC matches, regardless of which organization is running the match. Also, there is no holster certification course, as some of you may think. Only the CSSA required holster certification for the clubs and their matches. But personally, I see nothing wrong with a little safety training for somebody new to the sport. And PPC is a great way to get the new shooter involved in competition because it's a combination of bullseye precision shooting skills, shot on a variety of stationary movements because there's no running around. You're in one spot.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
I thought I'd just also let you take a breath as well.
Coffee?
Have you had a couple of cups of coffee?
No, I actually haven't had any today. Okay. I took some more numbers that.
Okay, so when you say that you're stationary, but you're shooting around stationary objects as well, though, are you not?
You're standing stationary, so there's no movement lateral or forward.
Right.
You're just basically changing positions. At one stage, you have a barricade, and you just shoot either side of the barricade, but you're not moving forward or back at all.
Okay.
Basically, everybody has their own little spot, and that's your whole spot for the whole match.
Hmm. Okay. All right, so you don't move at all.
No,
everybody
not at all.
Is still in. Okay.
Everybody's stationed.
You don't have to spend $400 to get a black badge for that?
it's a little bit later. The CSSA, you did have to take course, but the national organization, there is no holster certification.
So, but the only course you have to take is a holster course?
If you're shooting a CSSA.
Okay.
Any other clubs, if you're doing a regular PPC from the governing body, it's not mandatory that you take a holster certification.
Okay.
So where would you get a CSSA holster certification from?
Well, they were listing courses online, and actually I went online today, actually, and I see nothing listed in PPC. They don't even list it on their website anymore. You'd have to actually contact them. And there are instructors that do come out, but they're infrequent. They really are.
Okay.
And while PPC still is remains popular at club level matches in Ontario and some Western provinces, it's really been on the steady decline. The more dynamic action shooting sports like IPSC and IP are much more popular. And it was a bit of an old boys club when I was shooting it, with very few young people or females competing. Actually, Tom and I went online and we tried to find matches out near him. I think the closest one we could find was, 400 miles away?
Rural Red Deer, 400 kilometers-ish, yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of clubs are doing it club level, but you don't see the national recognition that, say, IPSC or IDPA get. Like out here, Northumberland, which I used to belong to, they have a club level. Port Perry has a club level. And I think MCO and one Toronto Revolver Club. So you get the odd intermatches, but they used to have great big competitions out here every year, and there hasn't been anything for quite a while. Now, the CSA was promoting the discipline by mandating holster certification and RO courses, but they seem to no longer be supporting PPC at all. As I said, I didn't see anything on their website, and since Ed passed away, nobody has been running large matches in my area. And my friend Randy, who is the Eastern PPC instructor for the CSSA, said he's only teaching one course a year, and that's usually at the Port Perry Club. They're the only one that requests it. Now, originally, it was a revolver-specific competition, but most police officers carried that type of sidearm at the time. But duty guns have changed, so now auto pistols are also used in that, so people use both. And at one time, PPC was only open to law enforcement, but it proved to be an ineffective training tool for the police, and the course of fire was discontinued as a training tool by the police department. But many officers still participate in PPC matches as recreational shooters, including the Toronto Police Shooting Team, but the majority of the competitors are civilians these days. Actually, the last big match I went to, which was probably 8-9 years ago, up in Orono, it was actually the Toronto Police Shooting Team actually sponsored the match. They held a barbecue, and they were great to shoot with. Now, there's a multitude of courses of fire and varying round counts. It would take me a half hour to just describe each stage and round count. So I've just included, and I actually put them in the show notes this time, George. There are links to the governing body already in the show notes if you want the official rules and course of fire. But the CSA sanctioned events, they usually just shoot a 600 match. And a 600 match is basically 60 rounds, 1,200 matches, 120 rounds, 1,500 matches, 150 rounds, and service pistol. The most popular is a 1,200, and what they do, it's just two back-to-back 600 matches. So that's what you get if you shoot all the club levels. They just basically do two 600s combined. Now, what the 600 is, because you're competing against revolvers, semi-autos are restricted to six rounds as well, too. So the stage is shot on an NRA B-27 target. First stage is 7 yards, double action only, 12 shots standing without support, and you've got 12 seconds. So when that buzzer goes off, you've got to do your six shots, reload, and do your other six shots. That's the only real fast course of fire is the very first stage. And then you move back to 50 feet, and it's double action only. And you got to do six shots kneeling, six shots standing, six shots left-handed, left side of the barricade, six shots right-handed, right side of the barricade. And you've got 90 seconds. And so
how would you do that with the semi-auto if it's double action only?
Double action only for revolvers. It doesn't apply to the autos.
Oh, okay.
There also are, if you go into the national match, there are different disciplines for this certain semi-autos, so like the Glocks have to have a certain trigger pound weight, and there's a whole different division for police divisions and the type of duty guns that they do use. But because it's originally a revolver action, when they call the line and they call the course of fire, they always say double action. Even if you're using a pistol, they still say double action. And the first two are shot on the same target. So you do your first two stages, you go back, you take your targets, those are put aside, then you put up a second B-27 target. Stage three, it's the same as the first stage. You get double action, six shots standing, 12 seconds, but you've got to do the same course of fire at 50 feet. So that's when your precision starts to drift off. And then stage four is basically a stage two again, single, but the last stage you can do it single action or double action. So if you've got a double action revolver, you can fire it single action if you want to get the accuracy, because you've got 2 minutes and 45 seconds to do this last stage. So it's the same thing. You get six shots sitting, six shots prone, six shots standing, six shots left hand, left side of the barricade, six shots standing, right hand side of the barricade, and fired on the B-27 target. A little trick is if you're going to get into PPC, except for the first stage, which is rapid fire, all the other stages, you've got lots and lots of time. You buy a digital stopwatch or a watch with a stopwatch on it. And when he calls, gives the command to fire, click your stopwatch. Because you've got lots of time. There's no point in rushing your shots. You can sit there and because you get to fire, what, 1, 2, 3, 24 shots. You've got 2 minutes, 45 seconds. You can really dial those shots in if you time yourself. The equipment that you need, I would get a shooting mat because you're going from sitting and standing, and it's like IPSC. It doesn't matter what the weather's outside. You're shooting if it's a torrential rain or if you're in a wet, cold ground. So buy a nice shooting mat. Any holster would do, but it can't be a no-shoulder or cross-star holster. AR rules on the calibers allows for 32 caliber or larger revolver with a maximum 6-inch barrel and a 35 caliber or larger auto pistol with a maximum 5-inch barrel. Many shooters still use the 6-shot 38 specials, where the autos are usually 9, 40, 45s. There are some restrictions on hooded front sights and the type of barrel ribs. I think it's the Wichita ribs not allowed now. So, again, refer to the rules to see what complies. Now, ammo.
Okay, hold on a sec. Let me interrupt here. For those that don't know, how about you explain what that means? What's a hooded front sight and ribs barrel?
Well, the hooded front sight is a shroud, basically, that covers the top of your front sight. So I guess they consider it an unfair advantage because if you're out in the bright sunlight, everybody else will have a hard time picking up their sight. You've got a hood over your sight. Your sight's nice and sharp because it's out of the glare. So they consider that an advantage. So it's not allowed. A lot of the barrels have a great big sighting rib, which is fine, but there's certain ribs that aren't allowed. So I think the Wichita rib or the Aristocat, one of them they actually banned. You can't use. So it just gives you a much wider sighting area, and they consider it a disadvantage with some of the ribs. You know, there's no power factor in PPC.
It just has to go through the paper,
yeah.
Right?
It has to go through the paper. So revolver shooters, they shoot really low milds with a, and the trajectory is quite an arc to it. So what a lot of PPC shooters do is they install a four-position front sight. So in order to keep their sight hold the same at different distances. So you pre-set up, your sight will have four different, a little selector button, and you pre-set up your front sight for the four different targets that you have to shoot. Because if not, with those low-speed wad cutters, if you're at 50 feet and you've got to do, say, a 10 hit, you're aiming at his neck or his head because your bullet's going to drop that low. So these guys spend the extra money to get the adjustable sight.
So it's like a bunch of space guns out there, or what?
They look even spacier than my 22-45 with a compensated dot, a compensated, and the red dot. These things look—they're beautiful guns. But actually, they're very specialized, precision-made race guns with massive bull barrels and compliant sight ribs. The most popular revolver for converting to a PPC gun are the Smith & Wesson K frames, if you can find them. If not, nowadays people are using the Smith & Wesson 586, 686, most often used, with massive, massive bull barrels. I cheated. I used to have a Smith & Wesson 625 end frame, which is like the 44 Magnum, but it was 45 ACP with moon clips, so I didn't have to worry about dumping brass or anything. Some shooters do use the Ruger GP100, but the single coil spring prohibits the trigger from being finely tuned as a Smith & Wesson. You ever shot one of those guns?
Which one?
You ever shot a PPC gun?
No.
Well, they're kind of neat because most of them, what they do, they have the hammer bobbed, which means there's no cocking spur on them. So it's double action only. The ones that are set up that way, the triggers are extremely light, almost a hair trigger, almost to the point of being unsafe to fire the guns in single action. So the hammer is removed. So they have to set up a trigger stop. Do you know what a trigger stop is?
Yep.
Because they've got really long trigger pulls. And what they do, they put a, at the inside of the trigger, they put a little rubber stopper. So when you pull the trigger all the way back, it actually stops the trigger from going all the way and the hammer falling forward. So it stops at just the point the sear is almost to engage or disengage. And then once you squeeze past the little rubber stopper, then the hammer trips. So they set these things up so light, you can't use factory ammo. So the shooters have to reload using soft federal primers, because if you put a factory round in there, it's not going to go off. Any questions?
Nope.
So how did the sport evolve into that from what the originally wouldn't have been, like police using their issued revolvers, and now you got all these fancy...
Well, originally, it was police service revolvers, and they still have a service pistol division. But, like, you know, with any sport, people started gaming it.
Yeah.
Because
I was just going to say, that from the description at the end of this, the guns you're talking about now do not sound like anything you'd see an officer carry back in the 80s.
Well, they make the guns so heavy and so front forward, you can pull that trigger and get off your shots, and your front sight's not moving.
But practically, well, you know, like you said, Thomas, like any sport, when a sport starts, people start gaming it, then they start gaming the equipment to game it even further, and
Well, they ended up putting other divisions so people could compete with their service guns. So you've got a snubby division. You've got a service division where you can only use a firearm that's issued currently to the police department. But these are all under the NRA rules. The CSSA didn't have a lot of these divisions.
I want to see a Saturday night special division.
They do. They do.
That's what, when I think PPC, that's what I think.
Well, a lot of times my friend John will show up to a match and he'll sign up for the snubby division. And of course, he's one of the few people grandfathered for snubby, and nobody else shoots in that division. He wins the trophy and the prize because nobody else has a snubby.
I think Lethal Weapon 1, Danny Glover. That's what I'm thinking.
With the neck roll?
No, the snubby. He's got that little police.
Yeah, I know. But when he goes to shoot it, he has to do that neck roll thing.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Exactly. That's PPC.
Now, the unlike other disciplines, except for CQB, but they shoot those outside. I've never heard of a CQB match indoors. Where only one competitor is shooting at a time. PPC shooters, they all shoot at the same time on the line. And 90% of the people are using revolvers, so they're all using plain lead projectiles. In my opinion, constantly shooting PPC matches in small indoor range can pose a serious health risk from lead poisoning. Several of my friends, including myself, developed high lead levels and were forced to stop shooting PPC indoors. Tom, Yuli, John, Randy, myself, we all got lead poisoning, and we all had to stop shooting because we were shooting so many indoor matches. And if you think a dust mask is going to help you, forget it. Because I remember Tom started showing up with a dust mask, and I just started laughing at him because a dust mask stops just that, dust. It doesn't stop vapors. You're still going to be inhaling the lead that's vaporizing coming out of the gun. Because you not only have to deal with lead particles and vapor coming out from the barrel of the gun, you have a large amount of gases traveling sideways towards you from the BC gap. And I always find it really difficult to even breathe after a PPC match because you've got so many people shooting all at once and the whole range just fills up really, really fast. And it doesn't vent it fast enough because range systems vent, as I mentioned in a couple of shows ago, they vent at the firing line and the backstop, not from the middle of the range. And you've got 24 rounds shot off with 10 people. You've got 240 rounds in 90 seconds, and it gets really smoking. So I would avoid shooting any long-term indoor PPC matches. And if you have been shooting them, I would go see your doctor and get your lead levels checked because it's not healthy.
And that explains a lot.
Yeah.
Which way do we go, George? Which way do we go?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to hug him and love
him. Anybody else got any?
So Trevor and I are the only people have actually shot PPC.
I was looking at the NFA Canadian Firearms Journal from May and June, and it looks like they have one on the front cover. I'm just saying.
You can get them dirt cheap nowadays. And my friend, the gentleman, the young guy's name, he had a beautiful PPC revolver for sale at the gun club, and it was sale for a year. It started at $7, crossed off $650. It got all the way down to $400, and I think he ended up selling it for $375.
Not a lot of people are doing it, that's why.
No. And if you bob the hammer, then it really limits to what you can do, because then you're strictly double action only. And they're 38 special. They're usually not chambered for 357s.
Right. So let's talk about events, unless anybody got any other questions for Thomas.
Anyone? So could you use just a normal, like an M&P or a Glock 17 or a CZ-75? And
you can use any firearm that's issued to a police force. So a CZ-75 would be fine, because that's probably issued to the Czech police force. Any autoloader. Most of the duty guns that you use in production are fine for PPC.
And you'd just be in your own division with other guys.
No, I was competing against revolvers. I also shot with my 1911.
But you're not shooting against the in the same category as the guys with all the space guns, right?
Yeah, you are.
You are? Yeah. So then
the difference is that because these guys are using their and they hated me for doing it because they're shooting their mild wad cutters that sound like pop guns. And I'm shooting full power factory loads to my 1911.
Thomas, you're awesome.
I'm like George, right? I like the recoil. So we're at indoor range, and you're pop, pop, pop. And you got Thomas going, kaboom, kaboom. And people are getting nailed with my brass all the time. So they made a point. I always had to shoot at the far right-hand side.
Right-hand side, yeah.
When I first started shooting cowboy, I would show up to a match. And I'd be, you know, wherever I fell in the sequence of shooters, as soon as I got up and as soon as I fired off that first pistol round, I'd get a, ooh, he's got a load. Because everyone else was just, like you said, Tom, everyone was going pop, 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 pop. And then I stayed up, bang!
You know, Kelly's not fond of my 1911s, but I put 25,000 rounds through that Smith & Wesson 1911. I never had one failure to fire, feed, or eject with that gun until about 25,000 rounds. Then I wore out the extractor. It never failed, ever. Just saying.
Trevor.
You like 1911s.
I love all guns equally.
You're an equal opportunity.
I love all guns equally. I like. I've fired Red's Glock. Love it. I've fired. Who had the Glock a couple weekends ago?
That was mine.
Yours. I fired yours. What was it? Was it a 19?
Well, RJ 17. Had the 19, didn't he?
Yeah, RJ had the 19 and I had the 17.
Now, what's the difference?
Two numbers.
No, but yours is a 19. Yours is a 9mm, though, right?
Mine's a 9mm, yes.
Yours has a larger frame.
It has a larger frame.
But they're both 19. They're both 9mm, all right?
Yeah, they're both 9mm.
Yeah, they're both 9mm.
The difference with RJ's is it's a smaller frame, and it's originally a Prohib, but he has a larger barrel in it. The standard one would be Prohib in Canada.
Right. Oh, okay. He had
so I don't know Glock numbers. All I know is, here, shoot this. It's a Glock. Okay. Bang, 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 bang. That was cool. Next gun.
I know 34 and 35.
That's how much attention I pay to the... I don't get into I listen to other podcasts and they're like, oh yeah, well this model and this number and this, and I'm like, yeah, it's just put it in my hand and say, point it in that direction and shoot. And I go bang, bang. And I go, that was cool.
I know three Glock models. The Glock 18 is a full auto. 34 is a competition long slide 9mm. And the 35 is a competition long slide 40. That's my Glock knowledge.
No way. First time I went down to Ohio, I thought Red's Glock was a 40. And then when he was on the show, he's like, yeah, no, that was 9mm. I'm like, yeah, well, there you go. That shows you what I know. put it in my hand. I go bang, 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 bang. I go, that was awesome.
Do you own any Glocks, Tom?
I don't own any, no.
Would you own a Glock?
I have a Steyr, so that's good enough for me.
Good man.
I'm not really into the Tupperware stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, but so... I like the 17L though. That's kind of neat.
They do make a good product. They really do.
Yeah.
Hey, if I can love my M22, I love everything.
Yeah. That's true.
So, that's all I have to say about that.
Okay. Events, shall we?
Sure.
Okay. So, who wants to talk about the Podcaster's Charity Shoot?
Not me.
So, we have our Podcaster Charity Shoot coming
thanks,
up
George.
June 25th in Brockville.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard about it, you're living under a rock. Come on out underneath your rock. Come out of your cave. Join the real world. June 25th, 2016, Brockville Charity Shoot. Be there or you won't be there.
Yeah, we're going to even try and get Tom to come. What do you think, Tom?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll send some toys.
Maybe
good
you can carpool.
Good enough
maybe,
for me.
Maybe, oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
That's why we had him on.
Yeah. So you said that you were going to send a couple more things, right?
Yeah, I can send
Canadian Uzi.
Swiss Arms.
Right.
Ooh, I haven't played with one of those yet.
Well, there you go. It's got a trigger stop for George to look at.
Oh, excellent. Can I adjust it and screw him up?
No, you can't adjust it. Actually, it's just like a little plunger behind the trigger that stops it once it goes off.
But it doesn't affect the trigger travel?
Oh, it just stops your over travel, but you can't adjust it.
Just an over travel stop, okay.
Yeah. And then I'll send the cadet kit for you guys too.
Cadet kit?
Now is that just the upper you're sending or the whole gun?
No, just the slide and two magazines.
Okay, so somebody has to bring a CZ-75 or 85.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it'll go on. It should go on an 85, but I've never tried it on an 85.
Well, the only difference between the 75 and the 85, I believe, is that the 85 has the ambi safety and the ambi slide stop and adjustable sights. I think everything else is the same.
I think so, yeah.
So we'll make sure that we have one of those.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but hopefully you can join us. Maybe you and Adriel can
carpool.
Carpool. That's the word I'm looking for. Carpool.
Truck pool. Nobody in Alberta owns cars.
That's true. Nobody in northern Alberta owns cars.
Not really, right. No.
No. I used to live there, too. So.
Holy jeez. Where have you not lived?
Want to talk about it?
None of
got
it?
Got an hour?
Have you lived in Nunavut?
No, I've never lived
there. Oh, you have not lived until you've lived in Nunavut.
In Nunavut.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on. Honestly.
All right. So, yeah, we're working on it. Also, you guys are all coming up on the 5th of December, too, so we're going to go to the Rockville Range, right?
Yep.
Yep. Have a look and see what we can do for Crucifier and that, too. So, it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be... Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm really looking forward to this. It's
taking shape.
It's and you know what? This is the first time we've ever done this. Like, the three of us have... Well, Thomas has been to a couple charity shoots.
I've been to everyone except the first one.
And Kelly, you've been to one, two?
I've been to one. I didn't bail on this summer. You did.
I did, yes.
2 years in a row?
This will be my very... The last one in Ontario... I was going to volunteer. I had already talked to Andrew and everything else, and then Wanda got her surgery date, and it was the weekend of the charity shoot.
But we're supposed to go out the year last
year,
too.
You take your bus, and you take it up with Wanda, and best of luck with you.
I'm leaving Wanda out of this. She likes me.
Yeah, because she's going to kick your butt.
I'm talking about last year.
Well, this year.
No, and the year before. The 2 years in a row we were supposed to carpool. That's why we made an image of you and shot it up, because you backed out twice. Mind you, Kelly backed out of the Black Badge course, so...
I did.
She's got one more back out still.
No.
All right, well, now that it's been put on Kelly, let's move on.
Okay.
Valkyrie Defense.
I decided that I was going to put that on there, too, to try and help with Jason and Brian. In December 5th, they have a counter ambush concepts course. December 12th, they have a concealed handgun course. And January 9th, they have a concealed handgun course as well. So we had a great time when we went down last time for the counter ambush concepts course. And we think that everybody should go down and take it.
Was Brian really a munchkin at Wizard of Oz?
Now, I will deny this if anyone replays this to Brian.
But he's going to listen.
He's quite a stand-up guy. This guy's going to going on vacation down to, I think it's Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
And he's talking about flying up to the charity shoot to run a course for the Canadians that are going to be there. Not only that, he even promoted this on the Armed Squirrels. I think it was the last episode he mentioned this.
Right, so, he's going to try. So we're going to try and make sure that him and Jason can come up and do it.
And if you shoot this month's Armed Squirrel Challenge target, the prize is a Valkyrie Defense prize package.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So if you're in the
T-shirt
Ohio area.
Well?
T-shirt and mug. And I'm trying to talk Brian to give him the cool sunglasses, but he said no.
One of the cards? Sorry, we keep cutting you off, George.
I'm trying to give him some more love. If you're in the Ohio area, look these guys up. They're top quality. They're good bunch of guys.
Yeah, they are. So that's it for Valkyrie Defense. Coshocton, Ohio. Go out, take their courses.
And you can visit anyone says there.
Anyone says anything about me saying anything nice about Brian, I'll deny it.
Okay. Tom?
Yes?
Do you want to talk about the Slamfire one? Because it's in your neck of the woods.
Sure. So, the guys from Slamfire are putting on a handgun fundamentals course in St. Paul, Alberta on August 6th next year. It's $200. And 4 spots are still open. So contact the guys at Slamfire Radio if you would like to attend that. So I know I'm going to that. And I know, Adriel's going to go and a bunch of other people are going, so it should be fun.
Yeah, it should be.
Slamfire? Never heard of it.
Hey, Thomas.
Yes?
Who's your favorite show?
New Shooter Canada.
Atta boy. I knew he'd get you drinking the Kool-Aid eventually.
But if you listen to next week's Slamfire Radio, you might hear something different. Any listener email?
Well, no, I just wanted to know before we move on to listener email, Tom, is there any other courses or anything that's going out in Alberta or out in Western Canada that you can think of?
Well, not soon, but next year. Hang on, I just got to go in my calendar.
There's a handgun course on August 6th, right?
On July 16th and 17th, Tony Burton from Burton Tactical is putting on a Wounded Warriors shoot at the Edson Longest Mile Range. It's not finalized or anything yet, but they're starting to get set up for that. So you can go on Burton Tactical's Facebook site to get more information on that. And
so it'll be a fundraising event for Wounded Warriors?
Yep. Yeah, because Tony, he's an ex-service member, and they're helping all the guys with PTSD and all that stuff, or PTSD.
And unlike Wounded Warriors in the States, Canadian Wounded Warriors is gun-friendly, so if you're out that area, go support them.
And we actually give money to the guys that need it. We don't pay the big head of cheese guys all the money. So, but yeah, it'll be at the Edson Range, so it should be... Should be fun. I don't know if you guys have heard about that range, but it's 1,600 meter range.
Ooh.
So.
Nice.
Yeah, the long range.
That's a mile.
The mile, yeah. It's called the Longest Mile. So if you want to, there's drone footage of it on the Edson Fish and Game Association's website. So
Private range or is it a base?
No, it's just a range. You just go to the sports store in town and buy a membership. It's $80 for a year and you...
Really?
Oh, that's cheap.
Sick.
I'm coming up there.
So they have the 1600 meter range, it starts at 300 and then goes to 1600, and then to the left of that there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 500 meter range, and then to the left of that there's a big square pistol bay. It's about 100 meters by 100 meters ish, so you can have three different shoots going on in the pistol bay because it's so big. And then the south end, you can't shoot towards the south because that's where the parking lot is. But that's pretty big.
I know
big
where
range.
We're having our next charity shoot.
Must have a lot of F-class shooters out there.
I wonder if Kevin's Mauser would reach out a mile.
Oh, yeah. Anything will reach out a mile if you hold it high enough.
Well, yeah. The 22 would reach out a mile if you shoot it like a mortar.
Yep.
Actually, I found a couple of good deals on Mausers for you today. Did I not, George? It was two. One was, what, 400?
Did. One was, like, was it 400, 350 or something?
They were Spanish Mausers, though.
Yeah, they didn't, they weren't,
they need to be
German. What was the one that Marstar, German captured Mausers. You gotta have a German captured Mauser. Nothing screams, like, World War II, like, German captured Mauser. Like it was a Russian-German captured Mauser. Just
so the Russian Mauser that was captured and probably re-stamped by the Germans.
Whatever. Like it just that's just like
badass. The Russians never made Mausers.
No, they didn't.
Who cares? Like somebody captured something and like probably like beat somebody with it and used it as a club and then shot him or something. I don't know. I just that Mauser was awesome.
So when we go shooting on the 5th. Would you like to shoot it again?
Yeah, it's like ridiculous. My shout out, I know we're not out shout outs yet, but my shout out is going to be to Kevin again. Because it's like $2 a round to shoot that Mauser. He it loaded is. Five in. I was like, bang, 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 bang. I'm like, yeah, I just spent $10.
$10 in like 5 seconds.
Yeah. So I'll have to bring some ammo with me because that was just very generous.
So now you have a bromance with Kevin?
Or oh, just God, his gun? I don't think so.
Listen, shh, don't be saying that. Brian might be listening.
Oh, okay. I'll be quiet.
All right, guys. So, emails. We don't have any.
Well, we did get one. Because remember the last show we were talking about the Crusader podcast is gone. And apparently we got approached by... Was it the Richard Viola?
Yeah, we're not going
to
do that.
And we're not going to go there. Because they want us to limit everything to...
Well, it just came in today, and let's not... We don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah.
Well, there's lots of other podcasts that have came and went through there, so...
Yeah.
Maybe that's why nobody's there anymore.
Well, it's... The email just barely came in 2 hours ago. Anyways.
We have to check it out first.
Yeah, we'll check into it. Because Matthew said there wasn't really good shows on there, so.
Yeah, Slamfire was on.
They had photography, they had hunting, they had fishing, they had flying. They had quite a mix of different shows on there.
Yeah. Cart, horse, before. Moving on.
Facebook likes. We're at 512, so look out, Redneck, Canadian Redneck. We're catching up on you.
And I'd like to just kind of add a qualifier on here. Canadian Redneck was my drink in Facebook. That's how we got started. Doesn't necessarily mean that's what it is today. Make me sound like a raging alcoholic.
I've read some of the stuff on there. You are a raging alcoholic.
Okay, just because I've been into the tequila tonight.
I was just going to say, you were into the tequila tonight, weren't you, George?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You should have heard the pre-show.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that wasn't recorded, and moving on. Anyways.
Mm-hmm. So?
I don't know what the Canadian Redneck page is.
It's at 607. I went and looked.
We're catching up.
I was going to say it's 6-something. 600.
607. It hasn't had any in the last week. That being said, now that we're talking about it all the time, you'll probably get a few more.
So go like Canadian Redneck.
You broke up there, George.
It's okay. I unliked it just to bring you down one when you hit 500. But it didn't help. You're up to 600 already.
Just don't mix your Aguila with your tequila.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah, Aguila.
That could be dangerous.
Hey, you know what's funny? I think I got more Americans liking that page than I do Canadians. God bless America.
Yeah. Okay.
I even posted on it. I put the God and Guns from Leonard Skinner on there.
I saw that. Okay. So keep the emails coming, the iTunes reviews coming as well, and also the Facebook likes coming. We read all the emails, and we'll do all the reviews on the show, and we'll also, we like having your feedback. So let us know how we're doing.
Or this, how we're not doing. Complaints are accepted too.
This should be the train wreck show. Gosh.
I wish I had my Batman music.
No.
How do you have one? Kelly's the lead host. It's always the train wreck show. Aren't you supposed to be the one keeping us on track? Dump, 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 as Thomas would say.
Which way did we go?
So, who's got the CSSA closing comments?
Well, Thomas had put that up, so maybe Thomas should actually read it then.
Well, we're talking about the advocacy groups last week, so I actually went on to see what the different groups were asking for in volunteer-wise. The one that surprised me was the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. They're not asking for volunteers. They want to pay you. You have to actually apply for a job, and they will hire you. Apparently, they're an equal opportunity employer, so that kind of surprised me. But
you lost me on the show notes, dude. Where are you?
Oh, that's way at the bottom. Yeah, I just skipped it because it was the most the silliest one, because I went in there looking to see what groups were asking for volunteers. And this one,
they all are.
But they weren't asking for volunteers. They want you to apply for the job and send in your resume, and they're an equal opportunity employer. So
all the rest of them want you to go and represent them.
Well, I'll just read you what they posted. So the CSSA actually had this on their Facebook page and their website. It says, we're looking for a few good men and women. Do you want to tell your children and your grandchildren what they were on the front line protecting their rights? Team CSSA is working to re-energize and refocus our corps of volunteers and regional directors. If you'd like to, I'm just reading what they wrote.
That's pronounced corps.
Corpse.
Not corpse. Not corpse. They're not looking for dead bodies. The core.
Well, with the CSSA, you never know. Would you like to be part of our new exciting R&D program and help?
Aren't they a sponsor for us?
Not now.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, the CSSA are looking for people, and they really do need your help. I've met some amazing people that are involved with the CSSA. Mike Dunhoven and John Evers, there's some really passionate people involved in that organization. So if you've got the time, that's another one. The CCFR, I want you to join the coalition. They're also a nonprofit organization funded by you. They're a volunteer, and as such, they need your help to create and forward progress in their mission. So we actually included their links to the webpage. So if you're interested, contact the CCFR. And they're also having a dinner. I got invited to a dinner on December 5th. So
you can't go to the dinner on December 5th.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Is this a sleepover at your place, or is it just a shooting day? Because if it's
a sleepover, seriously.
Okay, well, if it's not a sleepover, I could still go.
Well, Wanda and George will be staying, I'm assuming, right? You're not going to drive up and drive back because it's a five-hour drive.
I don't know. Is it a slumber party or just a sleepover?
We are going to do each other's hair. We'll, you know, dress in pajamas, paint our nails.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in. I've had a haircut since last year.
Keep the show on track, Kelly.
I won't be doing the sleepover. I'll be coming home because I'm only a two-hour drive.
Okay. Oh, you guys are hilarious. It is a sleepover if you want to stay. Now that we've got that.
I'm saying Juan and I are spending the night.
There's one other group I want to talk about, the Ontario Rifle Association. I didn't see them asking for volunteers, but they've been a very important part of the fight for our firearms rights. So if you're interested in getting, they do have information days once a year. So if you want to get involved, check out the Ontario Rifle Association, especially if you want to do CQB or service rifle.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
So the new shooter candidate count for the drinking game.
Yeah.
When did we add Stacy to the drinking game?
Hi, Stacy.
You must.
I did every time you say Stacy.
Stacy.
We just did.
So the cute
count is cute and two. Sexy one.
Who said sexy?
Thomas did.
Sexy.
And what we did in Guns. It was a sexy woman. You had to keep it, I don't know.
Yes, I did.
Yes. The mispronunciations, we got 16 in there.
Thomas, I know what you're talking about. Corpse.
Corpse.
<He's> corpse. is it 11? And Stacy, I lost count, so I just threw in 10 plus in there.
Stacy.
We've been counting. I mean, we've been chatting.
All right.
And she is cute, too, so there's another one for cute.
Oh, gosh. Okay, we can stop now.
So, shoutouts. Mr. Uzi, do you have any shoutouts?
Hey, New Shooter Canada, for having me on tonight, I guess.
Thank you for coming on, guys. We appreciate it, Tom.
It was fun.
Yeah, they're a good bunch of guys.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
What am
And girls.
Thank you.
I'm not sure they're as good as, Slamfire guys, but,
Kelly's only class of this act, I'm telling you.
Not tonight, she's not.
Train wreck.
And what's Badiana?
Badiana. That's the BRS-99.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
That's Justina.
And you Badiana's
the CZ, and Justina's the BRS.
Thomas had sent your voice, your little voice clip. Squirrel. And he's like, oh, Tom sent this in. And I'm like, I have no idea what this is or what, I had no context to what was going on. And then Thomas goes from the email, and I went back and I'm like, I'm reading it, and I'm like, well, of course it's that. Like, what else would it have been?
Because I was mispronouncing it.
Well, of course you did.
And that's why my shout is to Thomas for sending us some guns to use at the charity shoot. You rock, Thomas, I said. And New Shooter Canada, Thomas, it's Badiana.
Badiana. Then why don't you put an I in there? So Badiana. Yeah.
Let's not get spelled. Too excited. He hasn't sent the guns yet, so.
Well, but I will.
Let's scale it down a bit. Just so
I've shot the Uzi.
Thank you.
I had my hands on it before you did. It went to the charity shoot first.
Yeah, but it got sent to my home.
Hey, Thomas.
And yes. It made it onto the podcast
the player cards.
Cards. So it is now infamous. And I've been told I look like I'm part of the mafia. What was it? The
Amish mafia.
The Amish mafia. I was going to say the horse and buggy mafia. Same thing. Horse and buggy mafia.
The Catholic mafia.
Hey, Thomas.
Yes.
No, that's Opus Dei. And we're not allowed
stage?
To talk about that.
Yes, Kelly.
Who shot it better?
You did?
Yeah, I know. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
George.
I blew my stage with that one.
But, George, your turn.
Shoutouts. I've got nothing written down, so Mr. Uzi, you're my shoutout this week.
Well, you were going to say Kevin.
But the Mauser?
But, oh my god, I have to change the mispronunciation.
Mauser.
Has he been taking these tequila shots for saying those words as we've been recording?
Das Mauser.
Well, at least he didn't call it a Mosin like his last show he was on.
Mosin Nagant.
Das Mosin.
Mosin
Nagant.
Okay. Tom?
Well, I already gave Kevin my shout-out earlier in the show.
Do you have one?
Kevin, you rock.
Oh, God.
I do.
Yeah, but I'm talking to the other Thomas. Thomas?
He goes by Mr. Uzi. Thank you.
Mr. Uzi.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, I already did.
You did a show.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay, never mind.
Train wreck. My shout-out is to Thomas, who wrote on the show about having a PPC.
The other Thomas.
I met that Thomas at the club today. and his son when I went to do the Squirrels Challenge. And I'm sad to hear that Bear is no longer working at Williams Arms and has moved away. So great shooting with you, Bear. I'm going to miss seeing you around. And Heather. I haven't seen Heather in so long. It was so nice to see her up at the club today with Thomas and his son. I gave her a great big hug. So shout out to Heather. A real upstanding lady that shoots in all the disciplines of the club. She shoots bullseye. She shoots PPC. She shoots ORSA. She shoots cowboy action. Really upstanding girl. So shout out to Heather also.
Okay. That's everything.
And she's cute.
Anybody got any? Oh, God. Cute is now at four.
That's four cutes.
Four cutes, one sexy.
No, that's two. Hi, Stacy.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, that's 25 for Stacy.
And 18 Miss Crunchiations.
Miss Crunchiations. Awesome. All right, guys. Let's call it a night.
Don't worry. Good night. Good night, Kelly.
Oh, I guess I should. Good night, Stacy. Until night. Next time, Stacy, keep your barrels pointed downrange. Smoking.
Take your kid shooting.
Keep it classy.
Shoot off the bag.
And take Stacy shooting.
Just don't shoot the bag.
Until next week.
45 Lieber with the Winchester tag. I like my double barrel.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at host@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
Trying to take our guns off of us, 'cause I ain't gonna shoot anyone, and no one shoots at me, 'cause I got a gun. I like guns, I like the way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, well hell I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. God made the trees, God made you, well hell he even made me, and he gave me this voice so I could be a singer, so you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, well hell I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.